medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm a senior business analyst at Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. In today's episode, we sit down with Alisa Maurer, IT Business Solutions Senior Manager with MDC Holdings. We ask her about her role, the role of the BA, her blueprint 4D takeaways, and what improvements she would like to see in JDE. Welcome, Alisa.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I set the bar pretty high in all the previous episodes. I've been around for a while, but I've learned a lot. So I work for MDC Holdings. You guys probably know us as Richmond American Homes. We're a home builder. We've been around for about 50 years. We were just acquired by Sekisui House out of Japan. So we'll be seeing how things change with our RBA team and the requirements that come down from that. I have been at that company for 11 years. So like you, Chandra, I started in the business, but I was doing purchasing or procurement, a little bit of cost accounting and options, which is kind of a custom module, but I hear it is similar to advanced pricing in the way that it's structured. And I think that really allowed me an opportunity to kind of see the different modules and how they interact. So we've got some JDE Homebuilder code, we've got 43 purchasing code, we've got some Oracle, like the vanilla, the finance tables, and then we have our business partner code and custom codes. We get a little bit of everything across those. And I spent about 3 years supporting the business in those areas and then came over to the BA side, and it just was kind of the perfect fit. Just felt really natural right away. As much as I enjoyed that in doing our 9-2 upgrade in that year, I got pulled back into the business to do a year of training and support that was focused around purchasing. And what was cool about that is I really love our database. So I'll say it here. I really like JD Edwards. That was one of those things that I came on that I like dealing with. I'll say this more than having to negotiate, say, with trade partners on the purchasing side, right? That interaction was not as fruitful to me as getting to set things up on the database, seeing how things interacted, and the kind of puzzle nature of what we do there. So I really loved that. I did that for a year. I shared my experiences, my knowledge of what I had learned as a BA from that 1 year, and the idea of how do you make the database work for you versus you work for it. And then after that, I had done a lot of traveling. I wanted to come back and be a BA again, since that was what I found I was passionate about and was most rewarding. So I spent the last 6 years as kind of a senior BA, BA manager, focused on JD Edwards. So on my team, I have 5 BAs that report to me currently, and they are all in the JD Edwards platform, supporting different areas of the business. And we have 1.5 developers. So I kind of wanted to mention is, I think a lot of the earlier episodes, we've talked a lot about the JDE code itself, where because we've had a lot of customizations on ours, we do use a lot of Oracle business partners. And so that was something that I got to be really involved with as well. And I think that they're a really great resource. You know, you mentioned we'll be probably talking more later about the Blueprint 40 takeaways, but I always really get to enjoy meeting potential Oracle business partners, people that can help me with the more niche or large scale projects that we need to complete. And that way I don't necessarily have to have full staff or a lot of people in one core area, right? I can have a little more balance. So that's my company, a little bit about my history.
Awesome. So you said that you listened to the first few episodes, you know, trying to catch up on how things were going. I was going to quiz you on, well, you said you learned some stuff too. So I was going to quiz you on Midwesternisms, but you jumped right in. So we're good.
Oh, right. Yeah. The only one I remember is, I think, a more recent episode in the discussion about pop and soda pop and Coke. And I don't think that I have a preference. I think that they're all over the board.
You use them all?
I do what I can. For any place of life.
I love it.
So we talked about, you already covered how many BAs you have on staff and a little bit about your day in the life, but having been a BA, now being a manager of BAs, I mean, how do you view that role within your organization?
I think it's vital. I think we are, as it came up before, we're change leaders. We really are. We spend a lot of time, obviously, fixing things and making sure the business can just operate on a day-to-day basis. But we also, I think we live one foot in the current state and one foot in a future state. So we got to live with how the database is today and then still think about how it could operate better in the future. And I think that's an interesting thing for BAs in that you do have to live in two worlds. You can like how things are today and still know that there'll be a need for change and that you're going to have to find a way to make that work. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you don't want to make the change. Sometimes it's really rewarding. Depends on what your change is, right? But it does keep it very interesting. And I think BAs do have to be extremely adaptable. So like in my day-to-day, I deal less now with tickets, but that still comes in for my teams. They kind of do that front-level support. But on the change leader side of it, I focus a lot on like UDOs, orchestrations, automations, a lot of ad hoc reporting. We're trying to do a little dashboarding, trying to get a little automated test scripting. So that's where, you know, having established relationships on the business side, we can really talk about what are your business needs? How can the BAs really help support that? And so we can help, you know, my team forge those relationships. Several of them have come out of the business, so they maintain strong relationships. But, you know, I think it was, again, one of the last two episodes I listened to were saying, oh, I'm dealing with tickets all day. I get a lot of those. Nobody really wants like the new changes. And I feel like we're right now in a state of transition where we were focusing on building kind of dirt. So we'd sell it and you could pick the plan and customize it a bit more. And so now we're doing more spec. And so, you know, we spent 10 years making our database everything it could be for dirt. Mm. And now we're in this state of flux where we're changing a lot of things. We're, you know, the dreaded C word, we're making a lot of customizations. And where we can, we're using the UDO platform, like doing orchestrations, the logic extensions, scheduling reports, notifications. So there's, I think, a lot there that is helping us help the business, especially on like notifications, those things you need to interact with and deal with right now, and better scheduling reports. Those have always been out there, but can we schedule things that weren't there?
It's very encouraging. I mean, from my perspective, to hear when you're empowered to look to the future and bring about change versus just expected to help the business, you know, keep running and responding to tickets, or you're just inundated with that so much so that you have no opportunity to look at how things are functioning and how to make them better. So, you know, it's encouraging to see that you're empowered to do that and hopefully given the tools to do that. One of the things I was curious about is we've built products within JD Edwards for various personas, you know, obviously end users like a customer service rep or a production manager. We've built products for other personas on the IT side, such as CNC or developers. Some might argue that a lot of the tools that you just described, right, the citizen developer tools we put out there have become or turned into BA tools. But if there was something, you know, in your day-to-day now that you're dealing with as you are bringing about change, as you are trying to make these adaptations of JD Edwards to the business, what sort of capabilities would you look for us to build that would support that data life that you currently have?
I mean, I think you guys are doing a good job continuing to support that platform and introduce stuff. I don't remember if it's coming out, but like one of the things that's come up recently is we want, you know, we're doing a logic extension to do more defined criteria of finding what we'll call a lot, the house, and then narrowing down some of those lists or, you know, several houses in a community. I want to be able to pass that list out of the list and into like the pasted data selection. So there's some things where like right now, I think we iterate over, but
I see.
As you guys do every new release, I think it gets a little bit more elegant. There's an SR out there.
Yes. Well, that's, as you use these things, you find obviously different problems that you're trying to solve that require different capabilities. This ability to obviously establish a list and then pass that list around versus having to iterate through the list and then one by one fill in another structure or assemble a data selection totally makes sense, but not necessarily something we would have struck upon iteration one, right? So,
yeah. And there's a lot of that because we started on an older version of like the Orchestrator Studio, and I look at our original orchestrations and he's like, they get the job done, but they're not super elegant. So it's one of those, you know, if we had more time, because we definitely don't, we'd love to go back and rework those and add in more validations and make them flow better with the new tools, especially the logic extensions, but they work. And so we're going to focus on what's going to help us more in the future and use the new tools there. And our developers are very involved in the UDOs there. So we usually, even if us as citizen developers on the logic extensions especially start creating those, we still try to review with our developers to make sure we don't put anything there that's going to cause performance issues or other things like that. And the nice part about that is you get a little cross training on what's driving it.
Satisfies that curiosity too, right? I mean, that's, you obviously were very curious about how things work and the underpinnings of what we do. And each time you're working on stuff like this, you get a further glimpse of that. So very cool.
Well, and when you make it work, like when you've been designing it and you hit run and you see it work, it's very rewarding. You're like, yes, got it. I figured it out. Not something I always get. I mean, the bug fixes that way too. A bad bug you're trying to work through, or like a data issue, a user did something.
Agreed. I will say I'm a tad bit envious. I'm more in that, in my current role where I'm inundated with support issues right now, or reorgs, because we like to do those on a daily basis. I'm kidding. Maybe not daily, but what feels like it. So I have a lot of ideas for ways I could make the lives easier in the business, but am not able to fully execute on that because of, as I call it, competing priorities.
Oh, yes.
So what I'd like to hear from you is, how do you get your senior leadership to buy into the importance of the BA role?
I think we're pretty lucky in that we work closely with our finance team. So our BA team reports up through the finance structure. So we have monthly meetings with the head VP of finance. So they have a lot of ideas on what they want. And the more that we can deliver on that, then you create this relationship of trust of, even if they're small things, right? If I can deliver this report, if we can add something to it, if I can make a dashboard that you're interacting with every day, then you start to feel that value a little bit more. And so it's easier to get, I think, some of the bigger projects going.
So establishing that relationship and then having a series of, let's say, quick wins to mm-hmm. kind of prove to the business what you can do, build that trust over time, and then you're given more and more freedom as you get more and more trust to do more and more things. Interesting.
Yeah, and they tend to have more and more ideas, right? Like, so once they know you can do things, that's, I feel like, part of where our requests are coming from right now is, okay, we've done this and we've done that. Can you do this? Well, sometimes the answer is yeah. And sometimes you're like, I'll have to see. Let me test that out.
I like that perspective, and I apologize to interrupt, but I mean, it is a challenge sometimes we run into on the product side. You know, we ask customers, what do you want? What do you need? And many times, because they don't know the capabilities, they don't know what to ask for. And so what I really kind of connected to there is this idea that the more and more you expose them to what's possible, and you get their buy-in, the more and more they'll ask for things. But if you hit them up blank, hit them up cold, their only basis is, of course, whatever their current day into life is. And it's hard to collaborate on new ideas and new capabilities when that's the case. So,
yeah, I will say there's a point where you get too many coming in. It's like, okay, got to prioritize these. We got some in the 2025 queue, some of the 2026 queue.
Yeah. Is this a need now, or is this a I'd like to have, or is this a it can wait a little bit longer?
A WBN category would be nice category.
Would be nice category.
Mm-hmm. We call it wish list.
Wish list.
Yep. I'll put it on the wish list.
We have a parking lot. We call it parking lot. Usually it's anything somebody like Clayton brings up. I just parking lot it.
Are you going to mention Clayton's last name so people are familiar with him?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I will not mention Mr. Seeley's last name. Anyway.
Since you already got in trouble once for not including last names, got to keep
True.
You on it.
Thank you. I will improve.
Did you know staying in the JDE loop is easy with Quest? Sign up for the free J.D. Edwards newsletter or follow Quest JDE on LinkedIn or Facebook for the latest Oracle updates, new content, publications, and news on upcoming webinars and events. For more info, visit questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.
So I thought it was interesting that you mentioned change leaders and you're going to Blueprint and kind of learning from others and sharing with others. Was there anything this time around at Blueprint that you discovered that you hadn't heard, or any, whether it be new capabilities or new use cases or an application of something that you hadn't seen?
Yeah, I mean, there's always new stuff at Blueprint. I do like hearing people's stories and getting to connect. I know there was like an AI session that was really interesting where I think it was Gustavo out of Innova 9 did one that used orchestrations in the background to fire off processes. And so that was a neat twist on the AI. And then there was another one, I think, by the BA Institute, just about the role of the BA, how it might change with AI. And I thought that was really fascinating about what's coming in terms of, you know, maybe it'll be less coding or less testing and more, is this legal? Is it correct? So I think staying up on that is good.
That was one of my questions actually for you is how, you know, I sat in that same session and had some of those same questions, like, how do you see the role? You know, this really made me consider and think about how the role might change. So did you agree with some of those points in terms of how the BA role may change in the future? We might be less tactical, might be a good word, more strategic, really hooked in with the business if some of what we do is now more automated.
I think it's certainly a possibility. And you talked a little bit about not being stuck on agile or waterfall. And I think we have a nice blend in terms of what suits the business and the need right now in terms of how fast it needs to happen and how critical the change is. You know, is it read-only? Is it updating things? Stuff like that. That some things we can be a little more iterative on, like a read-only report. It's like, okay, let's get it out. Let's get users feeling it out. And I think that part will still stay there. We still need to have feedback between the business and us. And is it meeting the need, right? I think a lot of what we do as BAs is making IT solutions that support the business initiatives. And so that's always the question when I'm testing is it doing what it's supposed to do, right? We always test if it's doing something else too, right? Was it undocumented features?
I like it. Undocumented feature.
But yeah, I still think, at least with the AIs, is it doing what it's supposed to do? Are we getting valuable information and value back from it? And that's part of what we do now. And I think that part will remain in some capacity. We're not far enough along in our own AI journey to, I guess, assess.
I think there will still be that, does this make sense? That I don't think necessarily will be able to be captured by AI, ML right up front. I think that's where we as humans have a little bit of an advantage to still put on that analytical hat.
I think those were the two sessions that stood out most to me. And there's still plenty of other ones that are good. I feel like eventually I got to go back and revisit the orchestration monitor because we're not on the last release even. So I got to see what's come up in the last couple. I think conferences are a great way to learn more, learn what's coming, to network, I guess, and see business partners. Do some more chatting, relaxed conversation with your business partner, especially if you're working on other projects. It's just kind of a different platform.
Yeah, I mean, it's a safe environment to, you know, network and obviously have conversations and explore ideas to learn. To be fair, I think it was interesting as you were talking AI, ML, and the IIBA session, you're talking iterative versus waterfall, having a mix. You're talking agile development. These are all, I would call, development methodologies, if you will, and you're applying them to how you're supporting the business today. So one of the questions I had was, what skills make a good BA, and how do we prepare BAs, or how does a BA prepare for change in the future? Part of this may be becoming more and more familiar with, I'd say, development methodologies and whatnot, so that, you know, as you do these projects, using some of these tools that you've been given through the Cafe One, Orchestrator, Lex, you know, all these various capabilities, how do you structure those projects to deliver iteratively over time? Or in some cases, maybe it makes more sense to take a more waterfall approach, but you have to be familiar with those two constructs to be able to actually make that decision and implement those things. So maybe that is one skill, but are there other skills that you can think of that BAs need to maybe start to look to develop in this new world?
Yeah, I mean, curiosity is always the top of the list for me. Critical thinking, detail-oriented is vital. As Linda and Andrew mentioned early on, you've got to want to know why something is happening and want to fix it. That's that, you know, if you like to puzzle, it's probably a good fit. And there's a lot of instances where we fix the data issue up front and we maybe don't address the underlying issue. I always think if I do my job right, I shouldn't see that issue again. I'll see a different issue, but I shouldn't see the same one. Sometimes we don't get it all. Sometimes we do the first fix only to find out it's an onion and you peel back each layer to the next issue. You just keep working through it until you get something that works. So I think there's some patience there as well. And that as you're trying out the new UDOs and tools, I always think, you know, start small, something that you're kind of comfortable, familiar with, and keep building on that. Build your confidence. So I got a report scheduled from, you know, maybe JDE scheduler, and I've moved it onto the work scheduler, and then you can add in a component to it. Maybe that's a notification or a message component, or maybe you're doing some other criteria or putting in a variable to make it more dynamic. I mean, for us, like, one of the things that we did early on was create an orchestration that ran over an area UDC. And so we could stop making a lot of our versions by area, which was something we had to do for the JDE scheduler for specific time slots. I really don't like maintaining versions. Don't see a lot of value in just making a version with the data selections. That was, what can we do that as we add markets or we remove markets, auto scales up and down? So it's, you know, starting again with, it's a basic report request and then building on some of that, I think helps PAs build confidence. I find, you know, if we do kind of younger junior BAs that are just coming out of college, they really love the UDOS platform. They really like working on the new stuff. The tickets are good too. And some of those can have a lot of similar problems, which I think creates repetition, which is really, really good for any BAs. But it's nice to throw in something to help them see what the future holds. Like eventually it should be a support of, or a mix of support and bug fixes and enhancements. And hopefully a little bit of training, at least for us, like we try to write up job aids as we make things, change things to improve adoption as things go out.
We get the question a lot, right? How do you attract new talent? How do you cultivate new BAs? How do you get them interested? And maybe the simplest answer to that is show them the new stuff first. Let them start off working with the citizen developer platform and playing around with that so they get comfortable with that. Don't start them necessarily just, I don't know, responding to tickets all day long.
Yeah, and we still do a bit of that, but it's, you know, like the other day we had a request for a notification when, you know, a certain, we'll call it data integrity issue happens, where somebody mislabels a raisin code on something, they want a notification. It's like, okay, well, we'll do this and we'll do it together. So I'm not just like sending them loose and
right,
go look up the documentation. We'll try to sit down, we'll talk through, what is the business trying to accomplish? Where am I going to get this data? Why am I picking this data? And because there's things that come up, like even on this one, it's like, well, couldn't do a watch list because it's on a history table. So you already dialed into a record. Let's try a notification, right? So there's our first adaptation where we have to be adaptive. And then inside there, it's like, well, going to start with this one table, but I have too many data points. Like I'm looking at lots that we've sold and closed. So I need to shrink it to what's active right now. So I got to go over to this other table and I've got to pull another data point there. And even at some point, it's like, okay, if this gets too complex, what we're going to do is take what we've defined in the requirements. And I like to use our ad hoc reporting tool to kind of query. It's a lot like data browser, just a little bit more user-friendly. But I like to do those queries because I can do some lookups and some joins to see what my final stuff should be. And then we can say, okay, if I can do it all easily in my citizen developer, awesome. If not, we've identified what we need. We've started the process. Now I can pass it off to my developer with better requirements. And when they pass it back to us, I say, hey, can you walk us through it? Right. So again, trying to keep that training going. I train my developer on why the business needs it. And I think they really find that enjoyable and are more involved in the process, right? That's that I feel like they're contributing. Mm-hmm. And then us as BAs learn more about why it was this way or why they set things up a certain way and how to do things. So if we do something in the future, we can always open it up and be like, okay, I can take this exact structure, but change out these few areas and it should work.
Yeah, I think being able to share the knowledge both with the developer and have the developer share the knowledge with you. So when you come across a different situation in the future, you might be ready with how you might need to prepare a response or say, well, I already know that that's not going to work here. I'm going to need to bring in my developer right away. And, you know, your developer feels more part of the team as well, you know, really included and gets to understand the business, because I think sometimes that they enjoy that. They enjoy learning how what they're doing impacts the business. We don't often share that with them.
So we have one full-time developer and one that's retired that was like, hey, I'm kind of bored. Can I come back like part-time? We would love to still have you contribute, which I think means, you know, we're doing a good job keeping them interested. But they like to be very involved in the design process too, which is nice, because there'll be times like, well, this is what I was thinking. I'll say, why don't you do it this way? Yeah, that's a much better idea. Let's go with that.
I like the fact that you have a kind of mutual appreciation for both sides. I mean, the BAs are genuinely interested in, you know, how the problem gets solved, and the developers are genuinely interested and included in the what and the why. It's a struggle. I only half joke, really don't joke, that we fail to get the what and the why a lot. We get told, make it do this, and we're pretty good at making it do that. And many times when we just make it do that without understanding what and why, it doesn't actually solve the problem, because we really didn't know what the problem was to begin with, and why you were asking what you were asking. So I say we, because I'm just a developer masquerading as a manager, so to speak.
No, and I think you guys too can sometimes offer different solutions that we may not have thought of. You may have a different perspective that would bring a different idea to the table that we should consider. And so I think, like you said, getting really good at giving the why, not just the what. This is what I want. Well, tell me why you want that. What are you trying to accomplish? What is your goal? Similar to what we as BAs do to the business. Mm-hmm. You know, when they say, I want this, I say, well, what's your end goal? What are you really looking to accomplish? What is your goal?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go from there and to provide options or solutions or brainstorm what might be the best way to get you what you're really looking for.
And I like the way you describe the iterative nature of what you do and how it could evolve. It kind of evolves over time, morphs over time. That was a really good example of kind of the process that you go through of decomposing a problem and then iteratively solving that problem. And if it expands beyond the capabilities of the UDO framework, then we move it on to a developer if we need to move it on to a developer. But by the time we get there, we've understood how we progress to that point. So we know what, we know why, we've got the framework for a potential solution. We just know this is too complicated, sophisticated for, you know, what we're currently using, and can hand it over with good information, which is great.
Agreed.
The word curious came up, and that is something that I continue to reiterate. It feels like daily, maybe weekly, but is telling my team to stay curious. Don't just take things as they're given to you and just go execute on them, but stay curious about what's driving. Chandra, you said, what's the end game, right? What's the end game that you're driving at? We should always know what our goal is, and otherwise, we're just going through the motions, and we don't know necessarily how what we do on a daily basis is contributing to getting to that end game. So,
yeah, stay curious. I feel like speed sometimes is the enemy of curiosity. There's a balance there. Certainly, like on the business side, you need to get a lot of things done quickly. You're just trying to, I just have to get to the next thing. Like, I don't have time to look into this issue. I just need you to fix this issue. And that was one of those things I loved about going to the BA side is, you know what? I have time to look into this issue. Not only do I have time, I am encouraged. Mm. You can start, you know, digging in. And even on the BA side, like I said, with all the development requests we have coming in, you know, I find that we have picked up our speed, which, you know, is, I think, one of the benefits of the UDO platform is makes things faster. But depending on how fast you're trying to get certain things out to help the business with some of their deadlines that they're trying to create new processes around, you don't have as much time to dig into things.
Yeah, they usually say don't let perfection be the enemy of
good, or
just good enough. But in this case, don't let speed be the enemy of good. Efficiency is a good thing, right? Being efficient is one thing, but racing to the end is not necessarily the best path forward. So
it's easy to miss things. And it's something I struggle and strive for with myself. when I'm working on projects is finding that balance of getting it to them quickly, but also trying to make sure that I've thought through everything or tested out, you know, the few questions maybe that I had. You know, I'm not sure how it's going to work. I'll pop into PY and try to answer my own question.
You've mentioned curiosity, detail-oriented, and being patient as some of the traits for BAs. When you're looking for BAs, are you looking more from the business or from outside the business, more of a technical role, a little bit of both? And this is a question that gets asked, I think, a lot in our community. I know when we sat in on a panel at Blueprint, it was one of the questions that was asked, and there were various answers, so none is right. But in your experience, what has been the best, if you want to call it that, approach for finding your BAs?
I think I was on that panel as well. And I would say we do a little bit of both, or it depends on the portion of the business that BA is going to support. So some of them are a little easier to train. Some of them are harder to train. So if it's a very, if there's like very setup intense, in-depth business needs all around it, those ones are nicer, I think, to get out of the business. But on the sales side, I think where we have some simpler issues or maybe a lot less customizations, those are ones that we can pull straight from college. Or, you know, like on the finance side, it's a critical role. So we really like to have somebody who's got a little bit of both and some experience. And it also depends, like if we have a senior in place and we have the capacity to bring in a junior, we really love to do that. So then we can mentor the junior up. And so that shadow ability or shadow program really is, I think, the most effective way of onboarding for us. Doesn't always work out that way. And certainly, like if we lose some of the more senior staff, we don't have a BA that's been training under them, and we've got to go out and look.
Yeah. So based on the area that they're going to work in and based on basically the capacity that you have to, you know, onboard to mentor and develop, you pick what fits your organization at that point. Very good approach.
Agreed. I like that approach. I really like where you're able to kind of fit it depending on what the business demands, if you will, for lack of a better word. If it is something that's complex, maybe it's not best to bring in somebody super junior and try to fit them into a very complicated process and not be able to set them up for success. But if you're able to find, you know, an area like you mentioned with sales order where it's maybe a little less customized and you have somebody with experience that can help groom and bring them up to speed, I think that's awesome.
This might be the first time I've ever heard those words said, that sales order is less customized.
I know, I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, they're still both custom. It's just like the amount of custom applications inside each other.
Right.
Fair. All right. Whew. I was like, man.
You run sales order entry non-custom? That's crazy. Who does that?
You've customized everything else but sales order entry. I'm lost. My world is turned upside down.
Yeah, no. It's still under the sales umbrella. It is not sales order entry, though. It's a very home builder sales.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Any other topics that you wanted to cover? Any other questions from you, Paul?
We could be here all day.
See, like I said, Alyssa, he'll keep going if I don't wrangle him in a little.
Nice. Yeah, I think you've covered everything I could think of. Filled up my bingo card.
Filled out your bingo card? Is that what you said, Alyssa?
Yes. Bingo card question.
Bingo card question.
Yay.
We're happy to hear somebody finally filled out a bingo card. We thought we failed miserably after Blueprint. Nobody said they got bingo. We were a little concerned. We're like, what terms did we miss?
We find some every week, I think, that we missed. My goodness.
That's true. We do.
Thank you, Alyssa. I appreciate you sitting down with us and taking the time out of your busy day to share your thoughts and share your insights. I particularly appreciate how thoughtful the way you have things structured and the way you execute, from the way in which you interact with your own BAs to how you think about where you recruit your BAs to how you use the tool set. Everything's, you know, very purposeful, very thought out thoroughly. I like the balance that you talk about. We don't want, like you said, speed to be good, but at the same time, we don't want perfection to be the enemy of good. So striking that balance makes the most sense and is difficult in this world where immediate gratification is something that everybody is used to and typically the business demands. I'm also encouraged by the fact that the business supports what you do. They partner with you. They trust you. How you described building that trust with the business, I think will be something that our listeners will definitely benefit from. So I thank you for sharing all that.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being a part of our podcast. We appreciate that greatly.
And don't be scared to come back for a future episode and share more of what you've been learning and what you've been doing.
Yeah, exactly. Love to hear more about your new logic extensions that you're working on. That'll be fun.
Continue to give us the feedback. We'll continue to try to improve things. So thanks again.
Exactly.
We'll talk to you next time.
See ya.
Toodles. All right. Before we go today, why don't we cover our Midwesternism of the day? This week, we're looking through our list and we have chosen what is more commonly known to be Midwestern comfort food. It is a traditional main course, also known to most as casserole, but in the Midwest, we call it
hot dish.
Yes, exactly. Hot dish. And what is the common ingredient in hot dish, Chandra?
Well, there's probably a couple common ingredients. I'd say the most common ingredient in a hot dish is they almost all contain cream of mushroom soup and cheese.
Cheese. Yes, cheese. You can make a hot dish out of just about anything as long as you have those two ingredients. Just throw your can of cream of mushroom soup down, pick whatever ingredient, hamburger, venison,
whatever you're hunting in your backyard,
tater tots, you know, whatever you'd like to layer it with. You just create layers. And then, of course, the top layer is going to have to be cheese of some sort. And then you just call it a hot dish. Do you have a favorite hot dish, Chandra?
No, this is where my Midwestern roots fail me. I am just not a hot dish girl, primarily because I don't really care for cream of mushroom soup at all. I love mushrooms. And personally, I just don't do hardly any dairy. It just doesn't sit well. So as you can imagine, the cheese and the cream of mushroom, probably not a good combination for me.
No.
But never really cared for it as a kid either. So all good. How about you, Paul? Do you have a favorite hot dish?
Oh, of course. Tater tot. Tater tot hot dish. That's the best. Can't go wrong, right? Comes out, sprinkle on a little salt. Fantastic. My fave.
Noted.
All right. Well, with that, we will conclude today's episode. Once again, we want to thank Elisa Maurer for coming on and talking to us about her role at MDC Homes and what she thinks about BAs and their role, their value to the organization, how to recruit them, cultivate them, train them, etc. She did a fantastic job.
Agreed. She did a wonderful job. Very articulate. Got some great ideas from her. Appreciate how they're utilizing kind of a mentor strategy with some of those younger BAs and not just bringing them in and putting them on support. They're also showing them some of the cool stuff that's there, which helps, I think, really generate that interest and getting those people to stay longer term in the community.
Yeah, building solutions and having fun is a great way to encourage folks to take on this role. So with that, I guess we will say goodbye for now. Until next time, everybody keep sharing, learning, and laughing together.
Toodles.
See ya. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest J.D. Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.